Welcome to the Global Research News Hour. I'm Steve Lindman. Before I introduce my guest is Dean Nicholson, and we're on the swine flu situation again, the so-called emergency that does not exist, the vaccines that are extremely toxic. Oh, some weeks back, I put together a PSA, a public service announcement for Republic. I've read it two or three times in this program. It's a good chance to do it again. Let me read it to you with a couple of very brief updated comments. Here's the PSA. This is an emergency public service announcement. On June 11th, the World Health Organization declared its highest level swine flu pandemic alert, highest level 6 swine flu pandemic alert, even though then and now, to the best of my knowledge, certainly then and I suspect now, no forensically proved swine flu death occurred anywhere in the world. And if there have been any, they've been extremely few and nothing to get excited or fearful about. Then on July 13th, the WHO recommended vaccinations for everyone, stopping just short of declaring a global emergency and mandating them. I suspect that very well could be coming next as we approach the fall, as we're getting very much into the fall flu season. Swine flu vaccines are experimental, untested, toxic, and extremely dangerous to the human immune system. They contain substances that cause a host of annoying to life-threatening autoimmune diseases and must be avoided even if mandated. I've got a couple of more lines that go on with the PSA. Earlier, the WHO said that over the next year or two or three, as many as 2 billion deaths could occur around the world if we don't fight this grave threat. It's no grave threat unless they want to manufacture one, which they very well may be doing, and the vaccine may be the vehicle to create the danger that they're talking about and literally drive people to serious illnesses or very possibly kill a great many of them. And then on September 20th, the WHO says, unless wealthy nations ante up $1.5 billion to supply poor nations with vaccines, it could kill millions of people. Well, this is part of the big lie. Let me tell you about my guest. My guest is Dean Nicholson. She's National Communications Director for Freedom in Canadian Healthcare, where she communicates through articles, lectures, and frequent media appearances on issues of public health safety and the global healthcare system's threat to our freedoms and welfare. So we want to talk about the current campaign to force toxic swine flu vaccines on unwary populations around the world. It's a very serious issue. Listeners to this program understand it well. We always get new ones, so we need to remind you. And the campaign is just beginning to get moved into much higher gear. And the threat is very real, the threat of the vaccine, not swine flu. Dee, are we connected?
You are.
Oh, welcome to the program.
Thank
Let me let you, just alert you, we have a few commercial breaks. When you hear the music very shortly, we'll take one. So we'll take a brief break, and then we'll come back and get into the program. So before I let you get started on explaining the threat as you see it, again, let me just welcome you. It's great to have you on. This, as you know, is a very major issue, and we need to spread the word as widely as possible because the dominant media in Canada, in the U.S., and around the world are lying to people. They are lying to people. They're spreading malicious falsehoods for lots of good reasons, like enriching the drug companies and so on. But let's take that first break and then come back and give you a chance to get into this.
This is Cascadia Public Radio.
With Dee Nicholson talking about swine flu. By the way, you heard the commercial that is all the time about the garbage and the corporate media. And use your daily newspaper for the birdcage. Well, they have a mission, as you know, they have a mission. Their mission is either to lie to you about the big issues or feed you with what Project Censor calls junk food news. and their founder analogized it to a Twinkie, filling but certainly not nourishing.
Well, now there's a project or an advertising campaign going on right now that we're aware of in the States, and it labels certain foods as smart choice. Okay, one of the foods that's labeled that way is Fruit Loops. It's 41% sugar.
Smart choice. Well, the labeling must have been done by the company that makes Fruit Loops.
You think?
Is that the way it works?
Pretty much.
Oh,
pretty much. It's like it's the same deal up here. People like Campbell's Soup was busted for having a healthy choice label stuck on it a little while ago because they had reduced their sodium levels to a somewhat more palatable degree in terms of your health. Well, what they called palatable wasn't really, but it turned out that companies paid to have that healthy choice sticker stuck on them. So there you go. It's turning Stephen into this massive intrigue that is worthy of the greatest spy thriller that was ever written. This whole thing is so complex and so widespread, and it goes so deep. This is a rabbit hole of immense proportions.
Oh, it is. The tragedy, Dee, is that the very people who were supposed to be protecting us in the U.S., the FDA, Food and Drug Administration, National Health Institute, I mean, you get the same agencies in Canada.
The people
running these agencies come from the industries that they're supposed to be regulating, and then after they serve a period of time, they go back in high-paying jobs to these industries. So they're only there for one person, for only one reason, to serve the interest, the profit interests of these industries, and our health can be damned. They just don't give a damn about our health.
Well, no. They're not paid to give a damn about our health.
Exactly.
They're only paid not to give a damn. And as you were mentioning at the top of the program, this blackmail, this current blackmail for $1.5 billion from the wealthy nations, I mean, you can just smell the rotting fish. You can just smell it. I mean, come on. Millions of deaths, and we're responsible if we don't hand over the money. That sounds like your money or their life, doesn't it?
Oh, it sure does. It sure
does. I've never seen anything like this.
Very sadly, of course, the major media, including in Canada, they reach the big audiences, and they have the big megaphone, and they go 24 hours around the clock. And no matter how many times most people are fooled, they just seem to be fooled again on the most important things affecting their lives. You know, I feel a bit like a voice in the wilderness. Whatever numbers I reach, I can't match them. They're far greater numbers. And I like to fantasize in my own mind, Dee, wondering, what if I ever reached an audience the size of theirs, putting on programming like this that is absolutely dedicated to the truth and on the most important world national issues. And I mean, the impact could be absolutely overwhelming. If people got this message over and over and over again, it could make all the difference in the world.
It
but
sure
even
could.
When we don't reach that big audience, it doesn't deter me from it.
No, we don't. And unfortunately, you know, it gets to the point where if you're exposing this stuff, if you're talking about this stuff, two things happen. More than half of your audience is going to look at you like you got three heads. And the other part of your audience, which consists of the government interfering people who are watching you constantly to see what you say and see what you're going to do next. Then there's the corporate listeners who hate your butt. And, you know, so all of that goes on, or you wind up in a cement suit.
At the same time, I honestly believe from the responses I get, and, you know, I don't get thousands of responses. I wouldn't know what to do with them if I got all that. But I really get some very wonderful responses, extremely positive, people saying they really rely on this program, some saying that they listen to it every single day. I had a woman email me once saying, "We listen to you daily at work."
That's
and my
awesome.
Thought was, I hope the boss is listening along with you.
Well, I hope the rest of America is listening along with her.
Along
That's
with
what
her.
I hope. Because quite frankly, excuse me, I've chemtrailed to death here. Plus, I haven't stopped talking for about the last month.
Oh, my goodness.
it's been a little silly. But, you know, it's been absolutely mind-boggling to us because we're seeing how the machinations of all this are all working. There's one set of PR that goes to Americans. There's another set of PR that goes to Canadians. There's some crossover there, but not an awful lot. Then you realize that you're under a process of harmonization with three countries in North America, and you see how they bounce laws from here and there. And you put through your Model Emergency Health Protection Act under Bush, which was like a draft for all the states to follow in terms of how to handle health emergencies and other emergencies. And in that act, you saw that essentially all of the guidelines were being put in there for people to be pushed into a position they don't like. Well, now we've got the same thing going on up here. Everything is being mimicked all over the place. There are now laws forcing the abrogation of rights in five major nations that we can count that we're aware of right now, all of them signatory to the same regulations. And, of course, when you take away your right to due process of law and then you start issuing forced vaccination orders, there's nothing people can rely on to help them out of it. And as we've seen that there's so much on the mandatory vaccination thing that, you know, which of course is reaping pharma literally billions upon billions upon billions of dollars worldwide. And then they want more. But, you know, you see all of that going on. And you start to realize that this is not something that popped up because of a virus. And then you look at the fact that Baxter Pharmaceuticals applied for a patent nearly 2 years before there was ever an H1N1 virus so-called discovered. They had a patent application in for a vaccine that would cover H1N1. And to my knowledge, now, granted, I might be wrong on that, but to my knowledge, I do not believe that there was a designation of H1N1 before the patent happened. So
well,
you can
no, H1N1 existed. There were emerges of it in the past, but even the WHO itself admits, Dee, that ordinarily so-called swine flu is really no more dangerous than conventional seasonal flu.
Of course not. And then I saw yesterday on a clip that was taken from American News, and this was very disturbing to me, that parents had actually offered their children up as the testing lot. Because as you may know, it's illegal for pharmaceutical companies to test on children under 18.
Maybe in the West, certainly not in third world countries. They can go and do anything they want.
Well, everything they do over there is an experiment. Come on. You know, I mean, Constant Gardner is an icon. You know,
the sad thing in the U.S. and maybe in Canada as well is because they keep hyping fear, so they literally have no problem getting volunteers to be guinea pigs.
Oh, yeah. Well,
they're lining up in such numbers they can't accommodate all these people.
Exactly. They've changed the right to bear arms in the United States to the right to bare arms. That's what they've done.
Oh,
and, of
yes.
course, people are literally lining up in their sheep-like columns. Here, give me the shot. And what really, really bothers me is the fact that you've got so many veterans who are on permanent disability from Gulf War Syndrome, which is a war which we all watched happen over the course of, what, a week? Right? hardly any casualties at all on anybody's side. The whole war was a week.
No, not a week. It took about a month. Not a
week.
Oh, well, but it was pretty fast.
The actual fighting of it, though, was really about a week. It was intense, and then it was boom over.
Oh, it was boom over indeed. First intensive bombing, and then an invasion, and it was a walkover. It was literally a walkover. I remember it so well.
Well, Scud missiles, come on. I remember the cartoon with the camel. Did you see that one?
Oh, we're going back almost 20 years now.
Yeah, but, you know, it was memorable. It was memorable. Oh, shoot, I'm dating myself. But, hey, you know, the thing that gets me is you got, what, 300,000 veterans from that war who are on permanent disability?
And the Department of Defense to this day denies that so-called Gulf War syndrome even exists. And
well,
this is what they do. I don't know what Canada does, Dee, but here in this country we send kids to fight imperial wars, all illegal, of course. We pump all kinds of toxins into their system. They don't just get one vaccine.
No, they'll get 17 shots.
Oh, they get that or even more, depending on where they're going. There is some that they only get if they're going to a particular part of the world, but they get pumped with one toxic vaccine after another. Is it any wonder that these kids are assured a lifetime of health problems, even if they don't come down with a Gulf War syndrome? They're assured of a lifetime of health problems.
No surprise. They're going to get hit with a whack of ischemic strokes in their brain, ischemic clots, and eventually their entire system shuts down.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Swine flu and the dangers of the vaccine. Do you explain what you see happening in Canada now, either to scare people en masse to take this terrible vaccine, toxic vaccine, or possibly literally mandate it so people may not have a choice?
Well, we're actually seeing a pretty much a mimicking of what's going on in the States in large part in terms of the spin. But it's a daily thing on the mass media, just a daily thing. What they're afraid of, how late our vaccine's going to be supplied. They're bouncing our spin off of your spin. They're telling Americans that they're going to have the nasal form vaccine, which I want to get into at some point because of the nanoparticulates that are involved in these vaccines. But they're turning around to Canadians and contrasting what's going on down there, saying, oh, they're getting their vaccines in October, but Canadians don't get their vaccine, which is adjuvanted, until November. So they're basically trying to make us want what we don't want by saying, well, see, somebody else has it first. So there's this keep up with the Joneses thing going on.
I'm surprised Canada will not be beginning to vaccinate people until November.
Nope, because the adjuvanted vaccine has not gone through any kind of safety trials yet. Now, bearing in mind, I don't see what is safe about the adjuvant that they want to use here, which is one of the forms of squalene. Now, Health Canada, of course, is saying that squalene is perfectly safe. Well, if it's so perfectly safe, why do they need trials?
Well, it's not perfectly safe.
Of course not. Squalene, come on, it causes neurological breakdown because, and this is what people do not understand, they are told by Health Canada that squalene occurs naturally in the body.
Which
most people go, oh, well, it's natural to the body, it's fine.
But it's different, and if you swallow the stuff, it has a much different effect on you than if you have it injected into you with a needle.
Yeah, if you swallow it, all it's going to do is lower your sperm count, if you have one.
Squalene injected. You get all kinds of serious illnesses and diseases.
No, because it passes through the normal systems and winds up where it's supposed to be, which is in the nervous system in the brain. But if you inject it, then It goes directly into the bloodstream where it causes an immunological response in the body to squalene, which means that your body now is going to attack all the squalene that is there naturally, and where that naturally sits is in your nervous system and your brain, which accounts for the reason why all these Gulf War Syndrome sufferers who had squalene in their shots, and a lot of people are crashing on this stuff and becoming paralyzed and everything else because of the fact that the squalene causes a breakdown of the nervous system. Now, depending on the state of your body at the time you take the shot and how healthy you are, this is going to have some kind of a deleterious effect on you. And in some people who may have an undetected weakness or an undetected deficiency, bingo bango, you're down for life. And this is not a laughing matter. This is not something like, oh, well, I'm going to get sick for a few days, but that's the worst of it. Or I might get a little redness around the injection site, but I can live with that. You know, but it's not that.
People don't know what's coming down the road.
It's a time bomb. The thing is a time bomb, and it can affect you years later,
exactly.
And you won't know.
You'll never be able to link it back to the vaccine that you took or the multiple vaccines.
That was the plan.
That's the beauty of their scheme. They can kill you, and you'll never know the source of the problem that brought you to that state.
That's right.
I mean,
that's...
it really is despicable and insidious.
Well, when I saw Anthony Fauci on Canadian TV last night, now Anthony Fauci, I know, was one of the biggest perpetrators in the world of the AIDS scam, and I'm sure you've discussed that at length on your show at some point or another.
Not the AIDS scam, but of course he's part of the system, so he spreads the lies.
Oh yeah, well I've seen him arguing with John Rappaport on occasion. I've also seen him arguing with Dr. Harvey Bialy. So I know that the U.S. fabricators, and that's what I call them, is fabricators. In the FDA and the NIH, these people are now spreading their poison into my country. And as far as I'm concerned, Anthony Fauci, go home. Go home. We don't need you here. We don't need your ilk here. What we need is some common sense logic in terms of how to handle our problems. And be those governmental or health-wise or any other problem, we need to get some common sense into this picture, because there isn't any. Everything around us is upside down.
Well, very definitely, Dee. Can I do this, and then when we come back from the next break at the bottom of the hour, I'd like you to explain the dangers of nanoparticles.
Oh, yeah?
One other time in a program, I read just a few of the ingredients in all vaccines, never mind the extra toxins that are in this swine flu thing being developed, but all vaccines contain mercury. They contain aluminum. They contain ammonium sulfate. They contain various animal tissues like pig blood, like rabbit brain, like dog kidney, like monkey kidney. They contain calf serum and fetal bovine serum. They contain macerated cancer cells, formaldehyde, antifreeze. Imagine antifreeze in vaccines. What do they want to do, keep us from freezing when we step outside?
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Welcome back to the News Hour. I'm with Dee Nicholson. I ran right into the commercial, Dee. I covered most of... The better-known substances that people can recognize very easily.
Well, you left out a couple that make me chuckle.
Well,
these make me chuckle, okay? I'm wondering how come they would want any kind of sugar in these shots, but they've got one or two sugars in there, and they've also got aspartame and MSG.
MSG.
Now, why on earth would they want a flavor enhancer and a sweetener in a vaccine?
Oh, I guess it does something else toxic to your body, which is the only reason. MSG is toxic, so I guess that's the reason it's in them.
Oh, yes, and Donald Rumsfeld would know all about that because he made so much ding-blasted money off our aspartame.
Oh, he sure did.
Plus
this horrible product called Tamiflu. It's the most popular drug people take when they get the flu. And in Japan, it killed people.
Why is it that when you follow the money, it always leads to pharma, and when you dig into pharma, it always leads to Washington and Ottawa?
Well, it does that, and there are a lot of money trails.
The pharma is
a big one, but...
They're not trails. They're superhighways.
Oh, it's a superhighway with many lanes. And pharma is mighty big. An even bigger one, which is a separate topic, is the one that leads to Wall Street, Dee. But we discuss that often in other programs. Today we're devoted to our health.
Nanoparticles. Let's get back to those.
Explain the problem with nanoparticles.
Okay. If you look at the charts where they show, and we have these charts, they're showing the applications for patents on vaccine-type medications that are using nanoparticles, which are teeny tiny. I mean, we're talking really tiny particles here. Where the substances being used have been ground down to such a level where they literally embed themselves in the tissue. Now, one of the things that's been said about H1N1 is that it embeds itself very deeply in the lung tissue. And this is one of the reasons why it's such a scary thing. Well, nanoparticles are embedding themselves in the lung tissue. Nanoparticles are embedding themselves in our mucus tissue. And whether you take a spray vaccine or whether you take a blood-based vaccine, if it has nanoparticles in it, you are taking chemicals into your system and having it embedded into your tissue, just like Jenny Jones, the talk show host years ago, had silicone leaking from a breast implant and showed how the silicone literally leached into the tissue. This is what is happening with these vaccines. And the patents on vaccines have skyrocketed, the ones that are including nanoparticles. So the scientists, the pharmacists, they don't know exactly what the effect over the next few decades these nanoparticles are going to have. They're using them because they're efficient. But efficient at what?
Well, yeah,
a tornado is efficient, too.
What is the purpose of putting nanoparticles into a vaccine?
Say the G word, do you?
The D word?
Genocide? You mean genocide, depopulation?
The G word, genocide. Well, there's no question that these nanoparticles can be extremely harmful to human health, but...
Yeah, just another joyous way of killing us.
It's another wonderful way of killing us. But can they come up with some kind of a story to explain why they're putting nanoparticles in the vaccines? What's their cover story? Any idea?
Well, I mean, essentially, the cover story on all of this stuff is we've tested it and found it safe. Well, as has been demonstrated time after time after time after time, the FDA has declared things safe after watching a whole bunch of vested interest studies go across their desks. Witness the case of Vioxx.
Oh.
And then Merck comes around with Gardasil vaccine, and young girls are dropping like flies all over the world, but they're still insisting it's safe. And they're still advertising as though it were safe.
By the way, the FDA never recalled Vioxx after, I believe, thousands of heart attacks.
I know.
And it was Merck on their own that finally decided. There were thousands of suits against them. They finally decided that at least for the time being, it was better to lay low. So they voluntarily withdrew Vioxx. I don't know what they're doing with it now. Probably reconstituting it under a new name.
Well, that's generally what they do. They recycle old formulas. I mean, aspartame was originally a pesticide, and it was brought back by Rumsfeld and labeled as a food additive. And, they relabel stuff. They've even got Coumadin out there that anyone who knows anyone who's had any kind of stroke is going to know the name Coumadin. Well, that's recycled rat poison.
Oh, you're making me sick.
Well, I mean, there you go. And then they tell you you're on this stuff for life because this particular type of poison that they give to people ostensibly to lower their stroke rate and thin their blood has an effect. It's like a kill code. You withdraw from that stuff, and it causes hypercoagulation.
Well, no, it's a blood thinner.
Until you withdraw from it, and then all of a sudden it's a blood thickener.
Well, I had to take some of it for a very short time related to a surgery I had some years ago. It was only for a very short time.
Then it would be low dose just to protect you.
Just to protect me, and, you know, I didn't know Coumadin from a hole in the wall.
Of course not. Most people don't.
But I had a doctor I trusted, and again, the only drugs I took for a very short time, including painkillers. When you have surgery, you need something to kill the pain. So you do what you had to do, and I expressed a strong desire, as I always do, that I really want nothing to do with drugs, and I'll never take any other than what I must, and then for the shortest period of time. But I did take some Coumadin.
Yeah,
rat poison. That's what they fed me.
That's warfarin. Warfarin is used for rat poison. It causes rats to hemorrhage to death.
Oh my goodness.
That's what it does. And this is the kind of stuff they call medicine. They change the name on it. And, of course, we people everywhere, we are as guilty as they are because we never ask the question. We just automatically trust a guy in a white coat, and we think that he must have been educated so much that he knows way more than we do, and surely he would never harm us. This is our trusted family doctor. He would never harm you. Well, maybe not knowingly, but when you're put through indoctrination, as they do through the medical associations around the world, and then on top of that, you've got these same medical associations riding herd on you to make sure you don't slip the traces. You don't have an awful lot of doctors, even the ones who know the truth, who are willing to tell the truth.
Of course, when it comes to drugs, doctors very sadly get most of their information from the drug companies and the salespeople that come around.
Well, they get more than that. They get more than that.
Well, I mean, they can get more. I mean, information is out there if they want to look for it.
They do get more. Let me make a point here, okay? There's a friend of mine who had a stroke in April and was, of course, rushed to hospital. And he's a health activist himself. And, of course, he was mortified at some of the things they wanted to do to him while he was in the hospital. But he was sitting in his room one day, and in comes a nurse with the meds. And she says, "Here you go, new medication today." And he says, "Oh, what is it and what's it for?" Which is his right to know. And she said, "Never mind, it's good for you." And he says, no, I want to know." And she says, "Oh, shut up and take your meds so I can get my bonus."
Oh, my goodness.
I almost fell through the floor, and it's concrete, when I heard that one. I have never seen such a blatant expose by anybody that there is more than meets the eye going on here. We know, we've known for years that doctors are sent on junkets, that they're sent samples. I used to work for a doctor as a medical assistant during my college years. And I can recall him. I loved him to bits. He was an old-fashioned family doctor, and he didn't believe in drugs. And he basically told me when he hired me, he said, "You let a pharmaceutical salesman in that front door," he says, "you're fired."
Oh, that's good for him, absolutely.
Oh,
I've been lucky, too, Dee. My two favorite doctors are not at all fond of drugs, and that's an understatement.
Yeah.
I think the only time they would prescribe something is if they felt the potential need outweighed the risk, but the two I'm thinking of know full well that there is no such thing as a safe drug. They all have toxic side effects. And if
of course they do, because they're all synthetic. Every one of them is synthetic. The body doesn't know what to do with them. This is the same with GM foods, the same with synthetic vitamins, the same with synthetic minerals, all these different things that pharma is synthesizing out of nature, out of stuff that grows in your backyard. Okay, all of this stuff is unknown to the body, foreign to the body. It's like substituting butter or margarine for butter, and flies won't even light on that stuff. Now, if an insect won't land on it to eat it, why would you? It's one molecule off plastic. You know, this is the kind of hype that we're getting. But you know, while we're in the area of doctors and things being forced on them to be forced on us, I think it's really important that people understand that with the legislation that is going through right now, people are not only going to have to line up voluntarily, they're going to have to line up involuntarily. And we in Canada are looking at the legislation that is going through in the various states. Now, Massachusetts was one of the ones that put its bills up for scrutiny very, very early on. And we've been looking at some of the things that are coming up in that legislation and in other states, Iowa, Oklahoma, Ohio, are all adopting the mandatory vaccine scenario. And the thing that is most interesting to us is the fact that there is one way out. And in the Massachusetts legislation, it states that you must take the shot unless you're allergic to the ingredients. Now, go back to that ingredient list. Which ones are you allergic to?
Well,
aluminum, formaldehyde, antifreeze, detergent.
The law supposedly says we're protected and we can say no, but the law doesn't work, in fact. And that was part of the PSA that I made. I didn't read the tag end of the PSA I read.
Well,
said the law will protect us, but in fact the law will not protect us.
No, the law
sweeps it away.
Yeah, well, let me explain something to people, because this is real important for people to understand. Americans don't have a notwithstanding clause, but what you do have is a whole bunch of legislation that is steadily eating away at your rights. Up here in Canada, in our Charter of Rights and Freedoms, which is part of our Constitution, we have a clause called the notwithstanding clause. The notwithstanding clause allows the government to suspend our rights at such time as our rights become a problem for the nation. Well, they're removing, through a bill in our parliament right now called C6, it's past parliament, it's in the Senate, where we're hammering the senators on a daily basis. And what they're doing is they are removing our due process rights. Now, when you take mandatory vaccination laws and say you've gotten out with the Constitution, with our Charter of Rights and Freedoms, you've got three ways out. You've got conscientious objection, you've got religious objection, and then you've got a medical exemption. Well, the first two get wiped out by the denial of rights and freedoms for this so-called state of emergency. The third one is due process of law. It's your right. It's your right to object under these things. So you're really, what happens is when your due process of law is removed, you can't object to those rights being removed. You have no access to a court over enforcing your constitutional rights, because via that new legislation in the states with the mandatory stuff, or via the notwithstanding clause in Canada, your conscientious objection rights are gone, and your religious objection rights are gone. The only one that is left untouchable is medical.
That's a very important right, and that really, that could be the fail-safe device for many, many people, because so many people are allergic to all sorts of substances.
Well, we have, they're sensitivities, and we're all sensitive to aluminum. It causes tangling of the nerve fibers in the brain to take aluminum, for example. Aluminum causes early onset Alzheimer's. Now, I've heard of dumbing down, but that's a bit ridiculous. Okay, then you've got formaldehyde, in which they pickle frogs, antifreeze, which you put in your car in the wintertime. Okay. I mean, come on. These things are, whereas most people who know anything about health would turn to their garden and their kitchen, these guys go to the garage.
DC, this very briefly, explain what the C6 law is in Canada.
Well, C6 purported, now this is really, really sneaky. Now, you've seen legislation in the states get buried in other acts. All kinds of stuff buried in a Ways and Means Act or whatever, and then all of a sudden it's law, and they go, huh? Where'd that come from? Well, they're pulling one of those with C6. The label on it is the Canada Consumer Protection Act. It is meant to replace the Hazardous Products Act, and what it purports to do is protect Canadians from things like melamine and baby food imported from China and lead in paints and all kinds of other toxic stuff coming in consumer products. Well, nobody's against that, okay? But what they're doing in Bill C-6 is they have all these provisions that are mirrored in the Massachusetts legislation, which says we can come into your house, we can burn it down, we can confiscate your property, you don't have access to a court, warrantless search and seizure, warrantless arrest, warrantless detention, containment, confinement, quarantine, all that stuff, courts are out of it, and the minister of the government is the one who decides your guilt or innocence. Now, we've already got senators in the Senate right now as they consider this bill, saying it's unconstitutional, thank God, because somebody's finally saying it's unconstitutional to take your right to life and liberty and the security of the person away. So we do have some headway made on that. But again, C6, which looks like an innocuous Hazardous Products Act to which everybody, you know, is in favor because nobody wants hazardous products. But it's an operational problem. The excuse that they give is that they don't have fast enough access to warrants to make these things happen. The truth of the matter is that if you haven't got access to warrants, you deal with the courts on an operational level and improve that access.
We need to take another break and one last segment, and I'll let you have it to wrap up with some final things you think are most important that we haven't talked about. We'll come right back.
Okay.
This is RVN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Welcome back to the News Hour. Yeah, I love a tagline that another player in the alternative media uses. They call what they do their daily antidote to the mainstream, to the major media, and that certainly is what this program is. But wrap it up with some more comments. Let's focus on the swine flu vaccine and the threats and events going on in Canada that threaten people all across your country. Whatever you didn't cover that you can wrap up in a few minutes.
Okay. Very quickly, I want to touch on the Aboriginal situation because it is a real bellwether in this country for what's coming. What we see right now is that they are ramping up the fear, as they are everywhere in the world. They're ramping up the fear irrationally over this virus that hasn't really killed anything like what the normal flu kills. I mean, in Canada, we lose nearly 8,000 people a year to the normal flu. In the SARS crisis, we saw 44 people die in Canada over a time of 6 months. But normally, the flu will kill 8,000 in a year. So you're looking like at 100, and I think it's something worked out to something like 127 people a week. So, I mean, clearly by the numbers, just do the math, figure out the real danger here. I saw a little kid who was in the States. She was being shown on the news last night taking a shot and saying, well, I know a lot of people are dying. The truth of the matter is they aren't. This is a very minor flu so far. It's a very minor flu. And what people need to be aware is that if they do not inform themselves about what is being taken into their body, and I'm talking 100% of the time, they are risking their own lives and their generations to come. They're risking them seriously. And all they need to do to find out what the truth is do a little research. All the information they could ever need is out there. It's all available. If you don't have a computer, if you're one of those rare birds that does not have a computer at home, you can go to a library and use the computer. While we have the internet, use it to save your life. The information is there for the alternatives. the information that points to a standard level of deficiency in vitamin D, which is the ultimate flu protector in your body, and it and all the information that says what you can use not only to avoid any kind of illness, but also to treat it when you have it. Vitamin D is the number one thing. And this is, there's abundant evidence to prove that kids who are shy on vitamin D are the H1N1 deaths. These are the ones. Out of the kids that are dying from H1N1, nearly all of them have had some kind of neurological dysfunction like cerebral palsy or something like that. All of those kids are vitamin D deficient. So if you want to protect yourself, okay, because you've got mandatory legislation, can we beat it? We don't know. We can try. We need your help. We need everybody's help to fight this. If we all stand up and say, no, we'll be successful. But if we're not, there are means to protect yourself. You just advertised one. It's called colloidal silver. They're trying to ban it up here.
They're trying to ban it down here, too.
Yeah.
We've run out of time. I've got to cut you off. The music means they'll break away shortly. I'll just add one comment that ultimately we're all responsible to make our own decisions. We can hear what our government says. We can hear what our friends say, our family say. When it comes not only to our health but to everything, the bottom line is we have to make our own decisions and we have to be responsible for them.
There are no innocent civilians.
Yes, you're on. Dee, many, many thanks for coming on.
Thank you for having me, Steve.
Oh, it was a pleasure.
A
vital topic. We will certainly revisit it again, probably many
times.
Thank
you. Thank you for that.
Oh, thank you, Dee. And again, everybody, join us again tomorrow. We'll have another important discussion, another distinguished guest.